Reading today from the book of Luke, chapter 10. And I'm going to read from the 38th verse. I want to say thank you for being here today. I appreciate you taking time. I know that God just gave you 24 hours this day, and you took a couple of them to spend with us, and I do appreciate it. It was your choice. I'm glad you made that choice, and we're going to do what we can to try to make it worth your while. Amen. I do have something from the Word of the Lord to talk to you about today. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Martha received him into her house. I want to talk to you about this very simple but powerful thought: the power of a simple invitation. The power of a simple invitation. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated today. I love the verse in Corinthians where it said, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might become rich. This is the time of the year that we often think about the verse that said, and there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus said this. He said, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And John wrote it this way. He said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. We think of Jesus today, and that he probably had it pretty easy. But I'm telling you, friend, it was a rocky and a rough road that he walked in life. And in the beginning, and that's where we are here in the 10th chapter of Luke, Jesus is in the year of what they call obscurity. He's just getting started in his ministry. And he goes to a certain village, and when he gets there, he was totally dependent on the mercy of people. And this woman, her name was Martha, went out to this young preacher, and she says to this young preacher, I would like for you to come to my house today. And the young preacher, his name was Jesus, said, I will come. And so Jesus went into the house of Martha. And when he got there, he found out that she had two siblings. There was another sister that was there, and her name was Mary. There was a brother that was there. We meet him over in the book of John, and his name was Lazarus. And so Jesus goes in at the invitation of a little lady by the name of Martha. It seems to me from the reading of the scripture that Martha was kind of the boss. Every house got a boss. Amen. Some of them are pretend bosses, but every house has a boss. Amen. One fellow said, I'm the boss in my house, and I have my wife's permission to say so. Amen. And so everybody has a boss. Amen. And Martha apparently was. She's the predominant one. There's something special about Martha. She gets a little criticism because in one sense, she may compare a little unfavorably with her sister Mary. But we need a lot of Marthas in the church. Amen. Other night when we were teaching, I kind of got a revelation that we were talking about the body of Christ. And I said, you know, sometimes we have a lot of eyes. They can see what needs to be done. And we need eyes in the church. And we need ears in the church. We need people that can hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we need mouths in the church, and we got plenty. Amen. The mouth is the one that says what needs to be done. But you know what we need more of than eyes and mouths and ears. We need some hands in the church. We need some Marthas in the church. We need somebody that'll lay a hand to the task. And instead of just telling the preacher what needs to be done, they'll just go do it. And they don't care who sees, don't care if anybody sees. They're not doing it so they'll be mentioned, and they're not doing it so they'll be talked about, but they're just doing it because they see that it needs to be done. And that's what Martha did. She had some hands, and she said, "I'll serve." That's how she loved the Lord. She loved the Lord not so much with her mouth and not so much with her eyes, but she loved Him with hands of service, just laying her hand to do what needed to be done and doing it with all of her heart. Now she gets a little criticism because of what she said. And this spirit can get a hold of any of us sometimes. When Jesus was in the house, I mean, you could hear in the kitchen, pots and pans are rattling and stuff's boiling on the stove. And she, you ever need another hand? She's got so much stuff going, she needs another hand. And her sister Mary's not in there. And she gets a little perturbed about that. I can understand that, can't you? Haven't you ever felt like you're doing everything? And it'd be nice if somebody else would help out a little bit. Sure you have. Don't look at me like that. Sure you have. Amen. And so she complains a little bit. And she said, "Jesus," she said, "here I am in here working myself silly." I'm paraphrasing. And she said, "my sister Mary's just sitting here like a knot on a log." Man, that she was a little aggravated, you see. We understand that, don't we? All you Marthas out there, do you understand where that's coming from? Amen. She's a little aggravated with it, and so it just comes out. Amen. But Mary was a hospitable person. She invited Jesus, did not know what that was going to mean to her future. Had no idea how important it was going to be to have Jesus Christ in her house in the future. All she knew was, "I would just like to have this young preacher come to my house." She invited him, and she was a hard-working lady. And Jesus then, he mentions a couple of things that Marthas have to look out for. First of all, he said, "Martha," he said, "you're cumbered about." That means you got all kinds of stuff hanging off of you. Amen. The problem Marthas have is they get busy and they're working and they got hands for the harvest and they're doing everything that they know how to do to please the Lord. But if they're not careful, they get too much going and they're dragging the weight of the world with them. And they get a little distracted and they get anxious and they get a little worried and they get troubled. Amen. There's a cure for that. It seems to me that Mary needed a little bit more Martha. And Martha needed a little bit more Mary. What I mean by that is the Bible, and Jesus said this, he said to Martha, he said, "Mary hath chosen that good part." Because she was just sitting there with big eyeballs and drinking in every word that he said. And she was being fed spiritually. But her sister was doing all the work. And that's not fair. I said, that's not fair. And so the sister's doing all the work. And she said, "I'm the spiritual one." Even spiritual people need to get their hands dirty. Spiritual people need to pick up a brush and clean a toilet now and then. Spiritual people can push vacuum cleaners. Spiritual people can push lawnmowers. Amen. Spiritual people can do normal, natural things. It doesn't hurt your spirituality. It doesn't bring you down Amen. It lifts you up, but it helps you. Everybody needs to have not only a heart, but you need to have some hands in the work. Amen. And so this is the family. Mary was so focused. She was so worshipful. And I appreciate both of these ladies so very much, because the church needs them. We need Martha's hands, and we need Mary's heart. Amen. We've got to have that, but we need a good balance of the two. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You know, some people, when it's time to worship, they're there, but it's one time to work, they're not. And then there's other people, when it's time to work, they're there, but when it's time to worship, they're not. We need a balance. We need people that can worship and work. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Boy, this is good, Brother Grissom. You're right on target today. Woo, brother, you're preaching. Every now and then you have to encourage yourself in the Lord. Amen. If you don't do it out there, I'm going to do it up here. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're not getting into this, I am. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's fast forward a little bit. Now it's getting toward the end of Jesus' ministry. I got a feeling, though the Bible doesn't necessarily say so, but I got a feeling he went to that little house in Bethany a lot of times. Every time he went down Jerusalem way, Bethany's only 2 miles from Jerusalem, I got a feeling he'd sneak over to Martha's house. Amen. You know what? Jesus is just like you and me. He likes to go where he's appreciated and where he's loved and where he's welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. You want a church that has Jesus in it? Every time you get in here, you throw your hands up, you lift up your voice, you lift up your face, and you say, Jesus Christ, you are welcome here. We want you in this house more than anything else. We need you here. And when we do that, the presence of the Lord will come mightily into our midst, and any good thing can happen. Hey, there's power in a simple invitation. Jesus never goes where he's not wanted, and he never stays where he's not wanted. He'll knock on the door. If the door doesn't open, he'll walk away. Amen. And it doesn't matter what's on the sign outside. It doesn't matter what the church sign says. It doesn't matter what the organization is. If he's not welcome, he will not enter. Amen. Oh, but we're Pentecostals. We've been in this way a long, long time. Doesn't matter. We still got to make him welcome. We can't be too preoccupied with other things. Amen. We can't get to feeling like, well, we're baptized in his name. We're washed in his blood. We're filled with his spirit. He's just kind of stuck with us. No, he's not. We got to make him welcome. Huh? Got to let him know, Jesus, you're welcome here. You're wanted here. You're needed in this place. Book of John, chapter 11. Jesus is with his disciples. He gets a message from the south. Simple letter that simply said, he whom thou lovest is sick. Signed Martha and Mary, talking about their brother Lazarus. We haven't met yet. First time we meet Lazarus, he's sick. He wasn't always sickly. But I don't know what he had, but he had something very, very serious. And the next thing we know about Lazarus is that he was loved. The Bible said Jesus loved him. And the next thing we know about Lazarus is that he was dead. Before Jesus could even get there, he died. And by the time he got there, he'd been dead for 4 days. But I want to take your attention here in this 11th chapter to the response of the sisters. The Bible said, and I love this, the way it says this, Martha and Mary apparently were loved in their little village, because the Bible said many of the Jews, if I say many, many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them. Many. So they had a lot of friends, had a lot of people that cared about them. Now, in order to have a lot of people that really care about you, you've got to care about others. Now, it's possible to have people that care about your money, but don't really care about you. And the way you know that is when your money's gone, they'll be gone. There are people that will care about your position, but when you lose that position, then you'll lose those people. But then there are people that care about you. And in order to have that kind of a relationship, you have to care about others genuinely. And so they had a lot of people at their house. And the Bible said, in verse number 20, it said, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming — he's not even there yet, she just heard he was coming — and she knew the way that he came. And so she didn't wait for him, but she went out and met him. Hallelujah! You want to get a response from the Lord? Don't wait till he gets here, but say, Jesus, I'm going to meet you on the way. Hallelujah! Don't wait till you get to church to start worshiping. Don't wait till you get to church to start praying. But start before you get here. Amen. While you're getting your clothes on. Amen. Sing in the shower. Hallelujah. Amen. Sing in the car. Worship on your way. Hallelujah. Praise God. I can't wait to get to church to meet you. I'm going to start before I get here. Hey, and you'll already have church going before you get to the door. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so she said, I'll meet him. So she went out to meet him. Amen. And she starts out a little dry. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. Kind of a little accusation, tinged with regret, perhaps disappointment. But she mingled it with faith. Your faith may not be perfect, but he'll see the faith, no matter what else it may be mixed with. And she expresses her faith in this manner. She said, but I know that even now, when it's as bad as it can get, when all of my hopes are dashed, when it seems to be all over, even now, she said, I know, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it to you. And when she said that, Jesus could not help but reply, oh, there's something about faith, no matter what it might be mingled with, that attracts him. And he looks down and he said, thy brother shall rise again. Amen. She backs up just a little bit. She's struggling. I can see the struggle. She said, I know that my brother shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I know that's going to happen. I have confidence in the resurrection. I know he's going to live. Jesus said, last day my foot. He said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Martha, why wait? Let's do it right now. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't wait. Let's do it today. He said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said, Lord, I believe. I want to show you something. Martha, or Mary, the spiritual sister, knew Jesus was coming, but stayed in the house. She didn't go see him. the spiritual one. The one that everybody said, oh, boy, she's spiritual. But she was so discouraged. So disappointed. She knew he was coming. But she couldn't even get out of the house. You may be up today, but you're going to need your brothers and sisters at some point in time. You're going to need a Martha in your life. You're going to need somebody that's just like a rock. Oh, I thank God for those people. I've learned to appreciate all kinds of people. I appreciate the shouters, and I appreciate the spiritual folks, and I appreciate the people that are so sensitive to the Holy Ghost. And I appreciate those people. Amen. But I appreciate people that you don't hear from them a lot, and they don't say much, and they're not very noticed, but they're just there. They're always there. If you call a work day, they're there. Amen. If you have a prayer meeting, they're there. If you have a revival service, they're there. They may not shine as brightly, they may not be as noticed, but they're just there. They're Marthas. Amen. Thank God for Marys, and thank God for Marthas. We need both of them in the church. Amen. And so, but when, by this time, Martha, she was satisfied now. Jesus was on the scene. I don't think she really comprehended exactly what was going to happen. But just having him there was enough. I don't know what you're going to do, Jesus, but just being here is enough for me. Hallelujah. And so then she runs back to the house and she tells Mary, her sister, she said, the Master has come and he's calling for you. Hey, I've got a message for somebody here today. The Master has come and he's calling for you. Hallelujah. You may be discouraged. You may be disappointed. You may be down today. But the Master is here and he's calling for you. Amen. All it takes is a simple invitation. Jesus, come in. I wish it were better, but it's not. I wish I could invite you to a clean heart, but I've got a dirty heart. I wish I could invite you into a life that everything's worked out, but my life is chaos right now. I wish I could invite you in where everything was right, but it's not right. But oh, how I need you in my life. If you'll just give him an invitation today, he'll not worry about the mess. He'll not worry about the problems. He can deal with all of that. He just needs an invitation. Just invite him in. Jesus, please come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. So Mary then goes out to meet Jesus. He hadn't got to town yet. He wanted to have a little private time with him. Amen. But he didn't get it with Mary. When she came out, the whole crowd went. Isn't it amazing? You know, that's the difference in Mary's and Martha's. There are some people in the church that everybody just seems to congregate around. And that's good. Those are Mary's. And there are some people in the church that people rarely notice. They're Martha's. But it's okay. It's okay. Martha didn't need a crowd. Amen. Mary couldn't help it because people followed her. So they all went with her. They wanted to see her grieve. Amen. Something strange about that. But they followed her out. And she reached Jesus the same way Martha did. amazing. They said the same thing. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. What a grief. God, how are you doing, Lord? Good to see you. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Jesus saw her weeping, and all the Jews weeping with her, groaned in the spirit. And then the shortest, but what a powerful verse, it said, Jesus wept. I don't think he's weeping about Lazarus. Not at all. I mean, he'd already told us what he's going to do about that. He'd already told Martha what he's going to do about that. He's not weeping for Lazarus. He's not weeping because it's a hopeless situation. The Bible says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. When you grieve, he feels it. When you hurt, he feels it. Amen. When you're in pain, he feels it. Amen. It affects him because he loves you. Now, I understand that, and so do you. Because when my daughter hurts, I hurt. When my wife is sick, I'm sick. See, I feel pain. I want to do something. I want to help. Amen. Isn't that how you feel? If not, shame on you. Amen. Praise God. I remember the first time I got sick at Bible college after I left home. I was in there throwing up, and my roommates were in there snoring. I thought, boy, I miss Mama now. If Mama, she couldn't stop me from throwing up, but at least she'd be there. Amen. They didn't care. Amen. So we need that spirit. But Jesus identifies with us. When you hurt, he hurts. He knows. He understands. So he's there. And he says, simply asks a question, where have you laid him? And they said, Lord, come and see. Woo! And took him down to the tomb. Now, here it is, folks. Let me get right down to it. Now, I know it's Sunday morning, and I got 5 minutes, and yeah, I got to quit. Because you will, whether I'm through or not. And so they go down to the tomb. And Jesus, and this verse is so important. It says when they get to the tomb, Jesus said, he said, notice how he said, take ye away the stone. He didn't move it. He didn't call an angel. Hey, Gabe, come here and move that stone. No, he didn't do that. He said, you move the stone. Anything that you put between you and Jesus, you have to move. He won't. If you've got something between yourself and the Lord, he won't move it out of the way. When you move it, he'll work. But you've got to remove some things. And then, of course, Martha was concerned, sweet Martha. She said, Lord, he's been in there 4 days. By now, he stinks. Amen. We've been stinkers, haven't we? That's why we don't want to move the stone. But he already knows about the stink. He already knows what's on the other side. He already knows what you've done. He wants to get to it. He wants to do something about it. He wants to change it. All you've got to do is move the stone. Don't make excuses. Don't be ashamed. Don't let your guilt get in the way. Just move the stone. He already knows about it, but he's here. And you know he's here. And you can feel him talking to you right now. Just move the stone. Amen. Finally they did. I believe death took its deepest breath and blew the stench of death all over that crowd. People were crying. People were weeping. Amen. And people were travailing. But the Bible said, but Jesus lifted up his eyes. He looked before him. He saw death. He looked around him. He saw discouragement, despair, and defeat. So he lifted up his eyes where he could always see clearly. Hey, friend, there's times you can't look around you. You've got to look up. Hallelujah. You've got to fasten your eyes on Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. But look up to the Lord and call on him. Jesus lifted up his eyes, then he lifted up his voice, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And there was a stirring on the inside of the tomb. Hallelujah. I don't know how he got out of there because he was still wrapped up. He probably, you know, just kind of hopped out just a little bit. Wound up hand and foot. I wish I had time to preach about this, but I don't. Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Amen. He left the loosing up to the church. Amen. And that's our thing, you see. When people come into the, hear me now. When people come into the church, they're not perfect. And neither are you. Our job is not to bind them, but to loose them. Our job is not to criticize and condemn and gossip about them. Our job is to loose them. Amen. If they fall back into something, let's get them out. If they have a problem, let's help them. The church is not a museum for perfect people, but it's a hospital for the hurting to help them get well. Amen. That's our purpose. Said, loose him and let him go. Amen. Boy, did they. They grabbed that thing, started getting cloth out off of him. Amen. Uncovered his face, in his face, and he started shouting, hallelujah. Got his hands loose. Woo! Glory. Got his feet loose. Amen. Praise God. He started worshiping. You talk about a revival. It says, and many Jews believed on Jesus, but there were some tattletales in the bunch. Now, when you have revival, you're going to have some people shouting and rejoicing, and you're going to have some people tattling. Hello? Not everybody welcomes revival. Not everybody that comes to church welcomes revival. Not everybody that talks about revival wants revival. There's some tattletales that went and told on them to the Pharisees and to the Sadducees and the powers that be. Amen. And so while they're shouting and rejoicing at Martha's house, amen, a few miles away, they're talking about how they can kill Jesus. Looks like they would have learned. Looks like they would have learned. But then, now, I've got to hurry. Go to the 12th chapter real quick. Amen. So the Bible says, verse number 2, talking about again at Martha's house, said there they made him a supper. I like that supper. That supper. No, they eat dinner a lot of places. We eat supper. So this was supper. And so they made him a supper. And Martha, here it is. I like it. Martha served. See, she's still at it. Just had one of the greatest revivals in her life, but she's still serving. She has not lost her servant spirit. She's still just serving the Lord. Hallelujah. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus. That's pretty neat, isn't it? Praise God. Now, I'm going to come back to Mary here in just a minute, but let me slip on down here just a minute. I want to show you something. And verse number 9 said, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he, that is Jesus, was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Now, I'd like to see somebody been dead 4 days and talk to him. I'd say, what was it like on the other side? What did you see while you were over there? Talk to me, Lazarus. Let's sit down here and talk about this a little bit. Yeah, they wanted to see Lazarus. Amen. And it says, and many of them believe because of this. Okay, but let me close it all up here. Amen. All right. And the Bible says, and Mary snuck out while Martha was serving. She went into a room. She went over and she found something that she'd been saving. She got an alabaster box of ointment. And she worked her way back in there where Jesus was. Now you remember how they sat back. They didn't sit at tables like we do. They reclined on the floor on the pillows. And they ate off of a table no higher than this altar and probably shorter than that. So they were actually reclined like this, and their feet were sticking out like that. And so Mary comes up where the feet of Jesus are sticking out, and she takes that alabaster box, and don't worry, I'm not going to break it, but she throws it and she breaks it. And the fragrance of that beautiful and expensive ointment fills all the room. And she takes it and she just covers the feet of Jesus. Amen. And everybody can smell that. It's fragrance. There's something about true worship that fills the room. I'm not talking about put on stuff. I'm talking about something that just comes out of your heart. It's not what you've just learned to do. It's not just clapping because everybody's clapping. It's not just doing it because everybody else is doing it. But it gets down deep inside of you and it says, I've got to do something for him because he's done so much. Just got a hold of Mary. And she poured out all out on me. And Judas stood there like people I've seen and said, why was this waste made? He couldn't see the love in it. He couldn't see the devotion in it. He couldn't see the sacrifice in it. All he could see was, poured it out. Oh, yeah. Amen. Praise God. We need to have that heart of Mary that just gives it all. What is so amazing that all of this came about by a simple invitation. A sweet little lady by the name of Martha met a young preacher just began in his ministry by the name of Jesus. And she said, I want you to come to my house. And he came. And from that, this relationship developed that resulted in the greatest miracle that you could imagine. And the greatest act of devotion that we find in the Scripture. And it all started with a simple. Now I'm just going to give you an invitation. Let's stand together. Just a simple invitation this morning. If you know in your heart, you know that things are not as good as they ought to be. And you know that they can be a lot better. And you know that Jesus wants to do something this morning for you. I want to give you an invitation. Just a simple invitation. I want you to come down to this altar that is in front of this church. I'm going to just stand here. And I want you to open up your heart. And I want you to lift up your hands and your voice and just begin to talk to Jesus and tell him what you need. Just a simple invitation. Just like Martha made, Jesus, would you come to my house today? Would you come to my house today? It might not be the most beautiful place. There's a lot nicer places. I need you so much, my house today. I need you so much in my life today. Would you just come to my house?